been a good day, hasn't it?
Amen.
Worth getting up and coming out here, wasn't it?
Amen.
I need to talk to Brother Powell. Brother Paul there, he's trying to encourage me to stand up here a long time this afternoon, so y'all take that up with him later if I do. So.
Here I am.
I'm glad to put that on him where it belongs.
That's right.
Certainly enjoyed the preaching of our dear brother. I told him after lunch, it seemed like my mind was, you see these wheels, they spin, it click, 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 and it slows down and it stops on something. I thought it stopped on something, but it sounded like maybe it's clicked over again. I'm not sure, so y'all pray for me. Because what I've got on my mind now is not what I had on my mind a little while ago. But you trust us of the Lord. So, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. That's the beginning of several verses in Isaiah chapter 43. Maybe some of the conditions that we experience in this country because we have not been faithful witnesses. Before that, Isaiah talks about some people that were false witnesses. And he says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord. And beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and I have shown. When there is no strange God among you, therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work. Who shall let it? You are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Are you one of his witnesses? Are we his witnesses today? You know, if you're a witness, you got to have some evidence. You got to be prepared to testify.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, see cases in the natural courts today where people have to be drugged in to testify. Is that the way we are? We got to be subpoenaed to testify? Are we ready to come forth and present our evidence? What is your evidence? What is our evidence? We ought to have a lot, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
But if you have any, it's as with all things, it begins with God. Paul teaches us a lot about faith, doesn't he? He defines faith as two things. Substance and evidence.
Yeah.
Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I can tell you, the substance of faith is a deposit that the Holy Spirit makes in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you are born again in spirit.
Amen.
That gives you the ability to believe God. That causes you to cry out, Abba Father.
Amen.
Have some recognition and knowledge that beyond just the Creator. Because, you know, nature itself, this natural creation,
yeah,
is sufficient evidence to convict any man. Even the wicked.
Yeah, that's right.
Even the wicked would have to deny the irrefutable evidence that there is a God. There is a Creator by the perfection of the creation.
Right.
They're all without excuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the evidence that you have when you're born again is not just that there is a God or a Creator,
mm-hmm,
but He's your Father.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
You have a Father.
Yes.
That planted evidence in your heart when you're born again. You know, a lot of God's children don't add a lot to that, do they? They may not accumulate much evidence. Just faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We accumulate evidence, brothers and sisters, through our life as disciples. And the closer we walk to the Lord, you know what's going to happen? You'll have a lot more evidence.
Amen.
I may have said this here. It kind of resonates with me, but, you know, they asked one of those old bank robbers back in the 20s or 30s. They said, well, why do you rob banks? He said, well, that's where the money is. Yeah, makes sense, doesn't it? Don't rob my house. You'd be wasting your time. You don't know where you're going to find a lot of evidence? In the church.
Yeah.
In the Bible. In the walk as disciples.
Right.
You're going to find a lot of evidence right there. Mm-hmm. And if you're paying attention, those are things that you accumulate.
Right.
The evidence that we have.
Amen.
You know, he listed so many things there in Isaiah 43 mm-hmm. about God.
Right.
Teaching us about who he is, what his power is. Teaching us about God. We got to have evidence about his son, don't we? Mm-hmm. You know, I love it in, there's so much in Romans chapter 8. Isn't it interesting? Some say, well, I love this in Romans 8. Well, what do you not like in Romans 8? He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, when that faith is planted in your heart, when the first piece of evidence that it teaches you, when you cry out, Abba Father, that is evidence to you that God is your Father. You know what that means? That you're one of his children.
That's right.
And if you learn a little bit more about what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, it took a little love, right? The whole what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That we should be called the sons of God.
Right.
The Lord's saying this. For as many as are led. You know, the world gets a lot of things in the reverse order. They got the right pieces. They just get them in the wrong order. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So did you not receive the spirit of bondage? He's telling us there's some evidence right there. These things that you get from God, they're not to put you in bondage, not the spirit of bondage.
Right.
Again, to fear. But you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father, the Spirit itself, bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Yes.
You know, do you love God? You know, if you love God, you know what that means? He loves you first.
Right.
Amen. You know what that means?
Amen.
He gave his son for you.
Yeah.
You know what that means? He suffered for you on the cross.
Yeah.
You know what that means? Your sins were paid for.
Yeah.
You know what that means? Yeah. One of these days, you will come forth in glory and join him in the air and forever be with the Lord. That's what all that means.
Yeah.
Amen. Right? Some of the evidence that he provides to us that we are the children of God. What a glorious thing.
Yeah.
Heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. You got that evidence?
Mm-hmm.
I think you do. I don't think you'd be here today if you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
His son. You know, there were those that were blinded by their own self-righteousness. There were those that didn't have the eye to see. There was a lot of reasons. But, you know, Jesus, there were so many witnesses that he was who he was.
Yeah.
Right.
John chapter 5. The Bible tells us that in the presence of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And there's a lot of truth. That's a great thing right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the truth of the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. There were two witnesses to every statement.
Yeah.
God the Father chose the people, the Son and the Holy Spirit were witnesses to that.
Amen.
That's right.
When Jesus took them as a bride and covenanted to die for them on the cross, the Father and the Holy Spirit were witnesses to that.
Amen.
When the Holy Spirit said, I will come and I'll quicken them from a dead state and send a life in Christ and I'll take up a boat in their heart, I will do that.
Mm.
The Father and the Son were witnesses to that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Jesus described to some of those Pharisees who had the hardest time, it seemed like, confessing who he was, maybe believing who he was for a variety of different reasons. None of them good. Let me get that. John chapter 5. You know, they were always challenging him, right?
Yeah.
The more he said about who he was, the more opposition that he got from them. And he's testifying here in John chapter 5. I'll start with verse 3. He says, I count of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. He said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, he's just saying there that my witness needs to be established by others. Because I can guarantee you, whatever he said was true.
Yeah.
He could have bore witness of himself and been true, but they were looking for other witnesses.
Right.
And he goes on, he gives us four witnesses. And these are evidences, brothers and sisters, that he was who he said he was. And if you believe that he was who he said he was, you need to believe that he did what he said he did. And believe that he will do what he said he will do.
Amen.
Those promises. If we believe that he is who he said he was.
Right.
He said, there's another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. He sent unto John. Now we understand that, you know, John the Baptist came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they're saying, well, who's this fellow? He's an odd fellow. Came out of the wilderness. Man, look at the way he's dressed. Look what he's been eating. What's he preaching? It's all different things. And they went and sent son to him and said, are you the Christ? Good answer, John. John said, no, I'm not. And you know, John wouldn't make that clear, Brother Chris.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He told him one of these days, no, I'm not even worthy to take the shoes off.
Right.
If I assume the most humble position in front of him, I'm not even worthy of that.
Right.
As you send unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. He goes on and said, You didn't receive that. Verse 36, he says, but I have a greater witness than that of John. He says, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, and the Father hath sent me.
Right.
His works were a witness.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at the miracles that Christ performed, I started to say that they started off small. In a relative sense, they did. You know, that first miracle, what did he do? He turned water to wine. That's pretty good. I can't do that. But you look at the life of Christ and the miracles that he performed got increasingly powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Increasing demonstration of who he was and his power. You know, it got to that point when there's a man who had been dead 4 days.
Amen.
Mm. And for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dear sisters of Lazarus, Martha said, oh Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. Then I know you got fire. They had a wonderful conversation there. But for that purpose, that the glory of God be manifest,
right.
He waited 4 days.
Right. Yep.
Not just three,
right.
4 days.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And in that grand public display, so that not only roll that stone, we want that grave open. We want to be able to smell what's in there.
Yeah.
I want you to see this. He said some words to his father. He said, I say these things for their benefit that are around.
Right. Yeah, right.
He said, I'm going to do something powerful right now.
Right.
And that voice that brings life, that voice that brought light, that voice that commands the ways, that voice said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And he did he not?
Yeah.
A great and a powerful sign. And that was the last miracle until the most powerful. Because they came to him yet after that. Now that was created a great uproar, but they still said, "We did show us a sign. Show us a sign. Give us some evidence that you are who you say you are." He said, "I'm not going to give you another sign.
Right.
Until this one.
Yeah.
Until this one. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth." 3 days and three nights. And I tell you, of all those miracles and all those witnesses and all the evidence that he had provided to that time, brothers and sisters, they did not compare to the witness that he gave on that time.
Right.
Because to you and I, that's evidence that the sacrifice that he offered to God, let's get that right, the word was confused about that, He didn't offer himself to you and I.
No.
I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings.
Amen.
He didn't owe anything to you and I.
Right.
The offering was owed to God. Mm-hmm. That witness of the resurrection speaks loudly to you and I.
Yeah,
across the ages of time, until time is no more, that your sins were paid for.
Amen.
That God saw the travail of his soul. He was
satisfied. Yes, sir.
There's good enough in it. Yeah. What wonderful evidence that is. Have you got that in your heart?
Mm.
You said, well, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Some of them that were there didn't even understand it then.
Right.
You were represented.
If you've seen that by an eye of faith, you got that evidence.
Yeah, that's right.
He says, I got greater witness than that of John. My works, they witness who I am. He says, and the Father which has sent me hath borne witness of me. See, that's the third witness. Not only did his works testify who he was, God himself, on two occasions, right? On two occasions, spoke with an audible voice and demonstrated to those around who he was.
Amen.
But when he was baptized in Jordan, that's when he became the Son of God? Of course not. When he was baptized in Jordan, it was to get his sins clean. We know that's not true. In setting the example to you and I. See, that was
right.
A witness to you and I, yeah. Something that we ought to do.
Yeah.
And then that little spirit came down like a dove, lighted upon me.
Yeah.
This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Amen.
God himself.
Yes,
and those
sir.
Round about hearing that voice. I don't believe that was one of them things that was just between God and the Son. That was there for all those here. Because,
amen.
See, that was evidence that was presented that this one is the Son of God.
Right.
This is my Son.
Amen.
Whom I'm well pleased. And then old Peter, James, and Don, you know, you walk closer to the Lord, you're going to see some things that not everybody sees.
Yeah.
Well, there were 12 apostles.
Right.
But there were three of them that kind of got some VIP tickets, didn't they?
Yeah.
Peter, James, and John saw some things that others didn't.
Right.
When they saw Christ transfigured, see, they saw a picture
right.
of him in a glorified state. Oh. You know, it was a great thing when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and had seen the hinder parts of the glory of God. It was so great that they had to cover his face, that people couldn't even stand to look upon him. And what a glorious picture that is for you and I, that Moses being hidden in the cleft of the rock, covered by the hand of God. Isn't that a wonderful picture, brothers
yeah.
and sisters, of what happened
right.
on Calvary?
Yeah. Yeah.
That we were in Christ. You were chosen in him. You were in him when he died. Like that song we say, we're in him when he was buried, but we were in him
yeah.
when he rose again.
Amen.
And one day we're going to be with him perfectly in heaven to see that glory that was seen on Moses. I don't think it compared to what they saw on that mountain.
Right.
Those things that testified of him, that the law and the prophets. My Father, you know, he said, this is my Son, hear ye him, through the voice of God,
yeah.
to those three,
right.
seeing those things. Good old Peter, I love Peter. You know, most of the time I feel a lot like Peter than I do Paul. Sound like that's my course a lot more. Oh, let's build us three altars. No, Peter, there's only one here. This ain't about Moses.
Right.
This ain't about Elijah. You know, those
right.
things just pointed to who? To this one.
Yeah.
God spoke. Yeah. Evidence. This is my Son.
Amen.
Father, this which has sent me hath borne witness of me. Finally, in the 39th verse, he ends these four witnesses. John the Baptist, his works, his Father. What could be greater than any of that? You and I have. What a blessing that we have in God's Word. You want some evidence? It's in His book.
Yeah, amen.
It's in His book. 1 John 5 says, these things we have written unto you that you might have some inkling.
No.
No, that you may know that you have eternal life.
No.
You want to have some evidence? You want to be able to believe, I know I have eternal life. You know, I know the Bible says that amen says he knows anything, he knows nothing, that's all. But I tell you what, there's an assurance. We sing a song called Blessed Assurance. There's assurance available to the children of God.
Yeah,
you accumulate enough evidence,
yeah,
you're going to be more certain about these things.
Right.
Amen. You live a life following after the Lord, close by Him, and you can get to the point the Apostle Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. My time is at hand. And I'll know there waits for me a crown of righteousness.
Yeah.
At that day. At that day of His death, there's going to be no fear of death. The greatest enemy that we have can be removed as far as the east is from the west for us.
Yeah.
By that close block with God, that crown of righteousness, because that just wasn't for Paul.
Right.
Who else was it for? All them that love has appeared. That's having a lot of evidence right there. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. What's your evidence?
Yeah.
You like that poor old sinner, the publican? He smote his breast, cast his eyes down, said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner.
Mm.
That part of your evidence? It is. I hope it is.
Yeah, amen. It is. Got me.
You know, don't you witness with that? Don't you feel a companionship and a fellowship with that?
Yeah.
You run across one of God's children and they're just laboring and heavy laden with their sins. What should you do? Share your evidence with them.
Yeah, amen.
Testify. You know, there's a time when I was a young person in the old Baptist church. Well, Charles, you talk about getting out witnessing people. You'd be on the Greyhound bus headed out of town. They weren't interested in you witnessing people.
Right.
Well, I tell you, ye are my witnesses. Don't take my word for it.
Yeah.
Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. The people that He's called, people who were chosen for His honor and His glory.
Yes.
Search the Scriptures, for in them ye have eternal life. They tell me that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Yep.
But there's no good in us.
Right.
You know, I can look in my nature as a man, as a carnal creature, as a child of Adam. You know how much good I'd find in it? None. You know how much hope I'd find in it? None. You know how much peace I'd find in it? None. You know how much righteousness I'd find in it? None. And being you there. That's what the Scriptures teach me. That's the evidence. But you know where these Scriptures also teach me. And you know where sin did abound? And sin does abound. That's the right word.
Sin does.
Where sin did abound, oh, thanks be unto God, grace did much more abound.
That's right.
What a glorious thing that is.
Yeah.
That's good, isn't it, brother?
Amen. Yeah.
That makes you just want to sit down and rest. No. Why not? Well, let's get that right. You know, Brother Chris talked about that, you know, it'd be terrible not to have work to do. You know, I retired about 6 months ago, and I think it's just grand. But there's other work to do. There's the labor that doesn't end. I had a neighbor, about the time I was ordained, he lived two streets down from us in Birmingham, and he was a retired Southern Baptist minister. He was a good old fellow. But he'd retired. And I don't find, Brother Danny, I don't find his retirement age to this. Brother Bill was a good old fellow. He was a child of God, but he just couldn't get the comma butt off of the end of grace, you know. It just had to be something else involving. When he heard I was getting ordained, he was tickled to death. He said, Brother Craig, I've got a book full of sermons. Whenever you want to borrow me, just come down there and get it. I said, Brother Bill, I got a book full of sermons too. I just need to find them. They're all in there.
Yeah.
You know, he gave evidence of the child of God, fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
You see those things, what a glorious assurance that is, not just that we might know, that we could have some hope and some assurance and some peace for those that we love. Evidence. The cross gives us evidence that this one that was the Son of God gave his life for us. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we say, well, if I could have just been there. Mm-hmm. You know, that presupposes that you see these things and you know these things by your own natural wisdom. Fail to understand it by the revelation of God. Even those apostles. You know, we've almost had on my mind to talk about a verse that in Mark's Gospel where when Christ was coming in that last time and he sent two of those apostles to get him a ride, yeah. Get him a donkey. Mm-hmm. So you go there to a place where two ways meet. You know, that was an interesting time there in Jerusalem. You know, as he rode in on the ass, the foal of the coven, the people were, they were so excited. They were praising him, the hallelujahs, and the palms were down there, and they laid down their garments, because here comes the Messiah getting ready to throw the Romans off and establish his kingdom. Charles Dickens started one of his famous novels with the line, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times." It wasn't a few days after that, and from that triumphal entry, the things that Christ started telling those apostles got increasingly dire to them. I'm gonna die. I'm gonna be buried. Well, they took him in and showed him that temple. What a glorious thing this is. I'm gonna tear this down and not be one stone left on this. You know, that as it went through all those things, and you know, he was taking out the old, bringing in the new.
Yeah.
Two ways, man. He was giving them a lot of evidence of who he was and what he was going to do. And the scriptures record these blessed words. Of all the words that Jesus said on that cross, he said, "It is finished. It's finished." He gave some evidence to those after he rose again that he was alive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I think he made, I can't remember how many it is, 10 or 12 appearances.
Yeah, that's right.
From the time that he came from the tomb to the time he ascended that last
right.
time.
That's right.
You know, some of those were to the apostles. You know, that one that doubted, he wanted some evidence, some proof, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
You know, the first problem with little Thomas? He wasn't there when Jesus appeared to him the first time. You know, don't say where he was in the Bible, does it? I don't know where he was. I know where he wasn't.
Yeah, that's right.
He wasn't there where the Lord appeared.
Amen.
And he missed out on some evidence that he was alive. And he right. doubted. And then I understand that. Him doubting and need to see himself. That's really all he needed to do was see. He started off, so I'm going to have to put my hands on him. I want to check out those wounds. But all it takes is the appearance of Christ. And that's the evidence that we need, that he's alive.
Right.
There were a few he appeared to individually. Mary Magdalene. Mm-hmm. When he first appeared to her, she didn't even know who it was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thought he was the gardener. I do a little gardening myself. I don't think anybody ever would ever mistake me for the Lord. But you know, what did he have to do?
Called her name.
Mary.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
How precious that was.
Yeah.
There were those two that were on the road to Emmaus. Mm-hmm. He walked with them and hid who he was. And they were downcast and sad. And, you know, this will be my words. You can go over to Luke and read it. Get it exactly right. They said, why are you so downcast and so sorrowful here? So he must not be from around here. Well, he wasn't. But he knew all the things that had been going on. He said, oh, this one that we thought was the Messiah. You know, they just quickly downgraded him from being the Son of God.
Right.
Just a man, and they took him with wicked hands and slain him. And, you know, we've heard some evidence that he's alive, but these women, you know, you can't ever depend on them. I said, oh, fools and slow of heart, not to believe all that the prophets have spoken to me. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And then he began with the scriptures and expounded on who?
On himself.
And walked with them until they got where they were going and went in for supper. And they said, oh, he broke the bread and blessed it and revealed who he was to them. They said, oh, did not our hearts burn within us? See, that evidence was shining in. They saw what they had. And he expounded on the scriptures. And what did they do? They turned right back around to tell those others.
Yeah, right.
Paul's writing, it references that he appeared to Peter. You don't tell us anything about that, except that he appeared to Cephas, the 500, and this one and that one, and to Cephas. And it'd be a pretty special one. Well, Peter got some evidence there, I believe, of a lot of things.
Yeah.
Evidence. What have you accumulated? If you've got some evidence, you know what you need to do with it. You need to share it.
Right.
We need to testify.
Yes.
To the truth as it is in Christ Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
We see one that's laboring and laden, heavy laden with their sins. What do we need to tell? Come.
Amen.
Come. Come unto him.
Right.
Let me tell you about a man.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about God's Son. Let me tell you about the love that he had before the foundation of the world. That in that miracle that is God's grace, he looked down upon broken humanity. And what did he do? It's how do we even fathom it? That a perfect, sovereign God, seeing what would be, and despite what would be, and what we were, loved us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That we would be the objects of his love. Mm-hmm. Vessels of mercy, for prepared unto glory. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you about this God that loved you with everlasting love. What a wonderful testimony it is. And that he sent his Son. His Son came down into this world and suffered and bled and died for you. I'm going to tell you about a personal Savior. That's what I'm going to testify.
Amen.
Because I guarantee you, brother, it was personal.
Amen. Yeah. Right.
When God looked at humanity before time began, you know, me, I would have just probably carved off a big slab of it over here. So I'll take all these. No. God looked at you.
Right.
And chose you and loved you. Looked at you and chose you. Love you. Very personal.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
Jesus died for you. Very personal.
Amen.
He paid for your sins.
Right.
He suffered for you. He bled for you.
Yeah.
He descended into the earth for you. And he rose again for you, for our justification. We understand what a personal thing it is. I want to testify about a God that is sovereign. About a God that is all-powerful. A God that is mighty to save. And a God who Son tells us that he came in this world not to do his own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. And this is the will of him which sent me, that of all that he's given me. You know, we were laughing a little bit at lunch about someone that approached Brother Danny about, we'll talk about the Left Behind series. There'll be none left behind.
Amen.
Right. Because of all that the Father had given him, he's going to lose nothing. He's going to raise him up again the last day.
Right.
The evidence. Have you ever had peace come on you in a trying time?
Yes.
A peace that passes understanding?
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of trouble? You know what that is? That's evidence that Holy Spirit's there with you.
Amen.
He told those apostles that night after the Last Supper, before they went into Gethsemane and all those things with his betrayal and you know, false judgment and then the crucifixion. And he told those apostles that he loved. What a wonderful, you know, you really just all read John 14 and 15 and 16 and 17. We'll read it all. But he tells them, I'm going to have to go away. He said, if I go away, my Father will what? Going to send you another comforter. I'm not going to leave you comfortless alone.
Right. Amen.
You know, that comfort, there's the Holy Spirit. If you felt the presence of that one, that's evidence that you're one of God's children.
Amen.
That's evidence of His love and care. That's His evidence, the evidence to you that He'll never leave you or forsake you. He knows whatever the situation you're in perfectly.
Yeah.
And that His grace is sufficient to you. You know, that comforter, you know, while Christ was with them, He was the comforter. Whenever Jesus came on the scene, what happened? Things calmed down, didn't they?
That's right. That's right.
Fear not, you know. When Jesus came, Jesus was there, things were good. He said, I'm going to leave. Imagine how they felt. But you know, Jesus as the comforter, when He was here in His ministry, was restricted to where He was. Now,
right.
I'm not saying He couldn't have, but He chose. Mm-hmm. But that was part of His. That those He comforted were those that were where He was.
Yes, that's right.
He wasn't comforting those people over in Africa, Asia, when He was in His ministry there. This comforter we had now, you know, He's not limited by time and space in the comfort He provides. This very moment, in this instance, this other comforter, capital C comforter,
yeah,
is comforting God's children all over this globe.
Amen.
He knows what all their needs are, and He provides them to each one of them the evidence. You know, no matter what language we may speak or what history we may have of our upbringing, we have a lot of common evidence among God's children. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Yeah.
You can go places where you don't know people naturally, but immediately, just because we're gathered in the church, you know, I know we got a lot in common. We share a lot of the same evidence.
Right. Amen.
Of the one. See, that's part of our testimony shared. And it's greater when shared in number.
Yeah.
You know, the more that, you know, it's wonderful to sing with a couple people. But I tell you, when you can sing with a group like we had here, that's wonderful.
Yeah, amen.
Testimony. He finished the work. He paid the price for our sins. One day we're going to live with Him in glory. The Bible, there are a lot of false witnesses out there. Some through ignorance. Brother Chris talked about some of the Jewish brethren that believe we're still laboring under the law. You know, Paul didn't ascribe to them the state of being dead. He ascribed to them the state of ignorance, of not being informed. In a lot of places Paul talked, I would that ye not be ignorant, brother. A lot of people get upset if you said that you sure are ignorant. A lot of people, we're all ignorant just about different things.
Right.
It just means we're not informed.
Yeah, right.
He said, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. What are they trying to do? They're still trying to establish their own righteousness.
Right.
Not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God. And his heart's desire and prayer to God was that God would open their eyes and they would see the truth of the finished work of Christ Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor. I'll give you rest so that you can work. So that you can do a different kind of work. So you can do that rejoicing labor that Brother Chris has talked about. So much in God's Word. You know, the evidence of faith. You know, the labor that we do naturally becomes more and more difficult as we get older. Brother Charles probably can't do everything today that he could have done 30 years ago.
Amen.
Sister Polly's happy about that. No, but I tell you, that labor in His kingdom, the walk of faith, and I'm sure you can witness to this. You've seen some of those elder statesmen who have been faithful through their life. They get older and they may have to have a cane. They may have to have a wheelchair. They may stoop. They may shuffle. Their walk may get slower naturally, but the walk of faith is stronger and stronger every day. What a great witness that is.
Amen.
You know, Paul said, "Wherefore we also are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses." And those didn't end. You know, we take encouragement and we get strength from our brothers and sisters that are testifying to the glory and the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To His deliverance. You know, we talked about those three Hebrew children. How great their witness was when they stood before Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
How strong their faith was in this one that would deliver them. They knew either way, they were going to win either way.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, how do you think they felt when they came out of that fire furnace?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After they'd been down there with who? With the Lord.
Yeah.
And when they came out, only one thing was different about them.
Mm-hmm.
Their clothes weren't singed. Their hair wasn't singed. They didn't even smell of smoke.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't bound anymore.
That's right. Right.
Those bindings were gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
What wonderful evidence that is.
Mm-hmm.
Testify that He is Lord. Worthy to be praised, and knowing that one day we'll all be gathered together with Him. A glorious day that'll be. Evidence, witnesses. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Let's do that. Let's be salt and light. Let's not let that light, let's don't put a bushel over it.
Right.
I'm not talking about laying down in front of cars to get them to stop so you can preach to them, but when we have an occasion to share the truth of the gospel.
Yes, sir.
To comfort one of God's little children and show them to the one that did it all. God bless you, is our prayer.
Amen.